pray and ask God to
be with us as we hear his word. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have access to your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to this church to hear your word. Our hearts and prayers goes to people of God who are just worshipping you in secret places. People who love you but unable to express your love because their families have opposed them. Their societies of Lord have not encouraged them. There are many churches of God in this world, or even Christians, who are persecuted. They want to hear your word of God, but they are unable to. Father, we pray that your spirit will work in their lives. And we pray, God, that we will take advantage of God as we hear your word, as we read your word, to live a life for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, a very good morning to all of you. If you realize, for the last few weeks, I think we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And I want to move to the next one, but you know, today would be the last one I'm dealing on love. Because the first time when we looked at it, you know, we were looking at about loving God. I think we are called to love God. That is very primary, that is very fundamental for our Christian life, right? When we have this fruit of the Spirit in us, we are filled with God's love and we love God so much. At the same time, when we are filled with God's love and we will love God, we will love the church, right? Can you imagine? I say I love God, but I don't reach out to a brother in need or a sister in need in the church. Then I think I need to really check my love towards God. And last week we were looking at loving one another in the church, right? Praying for one another. I was so excited because some of you came to me and told me it was wonderful to pray, to get to know someone who was just beside, right? You have said hi and bye to the person, but last week you had an opportunity to listen to them, to their needs, and also to offer a prayer for them. It is so wonderful to hear that. And today I thought it's important for us, when we love the Lord, when we love the church, we'll also love the community that is around us. Right? I think then love becomes much more complete. When I was working on this particular text, something was just coming into my mind. One of the things that was coming into my mind was, you know, all of us have dreams. Do you dream? Every day? Hello? Good dreams? Always good. Yeah, we all have dreams, right? Sometimes could be nightmare. I'm not talking about the nightmare kind of a dreams. I'm not talking about the dream that, you know, we imagine we are going to Singapore, right? Or going to New York City. It's not that kind of a dream. Yes, we have dreams. We dream that we are skiing. And so we have a lot of dreams in our life, right? But the dream which I'm talking about is something bigger, something greater, right? Something that we want to acquire in our life, we want to achieve in our life. But that kind of a dream that I'm talking about. I think all of us have something in us, or even a dream in us. It's not about just going there, visiting this particular place. But we want to achieve something bigger, larger in our life. And sometimes when you share your dream to someone beside you or to your friends, they will say, you know, this is beyond you. You can't do that, right? You don't have the ability. It is going to be a great challenge for you. And we still have that dream. We want to achieve, probably in our career or probably in our life, probably in the place we are, we have an ambition. So what happens when we have such kind of a dream? We work towards it, right? We make every effort possible because we want to realize that particular dream in our life, which is sometimes a bit difficult, but we want to do that. You know, when I was just looking at all this, I was asking myself, where do we get all these kinds of dreams, right? We want to achieve something larger, something bigger, right? I realize it's because we are created in the image of God. You and I have been created in the image of God, and there's some kind of resemblance of God in us. And so when God created the entire world, I see God is always doing big things, larger things. Can you imagine? God had a great plan for the planet world, right? In other words, in humanity. And the great plan is to save the entire universe, the entire humanity. And that was a great plan of God. So when I have a dream, I always realize it's not that because I am a dreamer, it's because, you know, I'm created in the image of God, and my God has a big dream, and his big dream is to save the entire world. His big dream is to come back into this world and to save us and to bring us so that his kingdom will be established. You know, sometimes we wonder, is it possible? Right? Is it possible for Jesus to come into this world? Sometimes we even imagine, well, because the Bible says the entire world will see Christ coming. Is it possible in the world today? Is it possible for Christ to establish his kingdom in this world? Is it possible? It's a big dream. It's beyond science. It's beyond technology. But the Lord is able to do that, my friend. And so when I look at this particular word, this same God has a dream for you, for me. That's how I see this particular text. When I look at this particular text, you know, it tells me that not only I dream big, but this God has a larger dream for me. He has a dream for us, my friend. Have you ever thought of that? We dream dreams for ourselves. We want to achieve this. We want to do that in our life. But this God is a God who dreams for us. And this is the dream of God for us. And he says, you are the salt of the world. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? In other words, in verse 13, he says, you are the salt of the world. In verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. I thought of focusing on the verse 14, right? You are the light of the world. And when I look at it, you know, I realize, you know, can you imagine God is looking at me and saying, you know, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. It's something bigger, something greater, something that I don't even imagine. I say, Lord, I'm not the light of the world. I can be your shadow, but I cannot be the light of the world. But the Lord says, I have a dream for you. I want you to be, not only I want you, but you are the light of the world. It is not a passage that is, you know, in the Greek they say it's not a passage that where you realize it's not going to happen. You know, it's a statement of fact. In other words, God says, you are the light of the world. You know, God has a greater dream for our lives, my friend. When I look at this particular text, you know, sometimes I wonder, you know, did Mark make a mistake by writing? Because Jesus said, I am the light of the world, right? He said in John 18:12 that he is the light of the world. But why? He said, he is the light of the world. He came, but now he says, you are the light of the world. Right? Is there a shift that has happened? Jesus always claimed that he is the bread of life. I am the resurrection of life. Right? I am the door. At the same time, he says, I am the light of the world. But now he says, no, I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Very interesting, just to give you a Greek class today. Whenever you see the word in the Greek text, for example, you are the light of the world. In grammatical Greek, it means the emphasis is on you. Right? Sometimes you read a passage, Jesus said. So in other words, it is Jesus who's saying. That is the emphasis. So the emphasis word in the Greek text always becomes the first word. So the emphasis here is you. It's not the world, right? You are the light. So according to Greek, the emphasis is each and every one of us are the light of this world. And Jesus wants us to be the light of this world, my friend. It's not a should passage, but it's a statement of fact. When I look at it, you know, I see two things in this particular passage, in this particular phrase, when Jesus said, you are the light of this world. In other words, he says that we bear his name. Can you imagine? It is not just something is told to you and said, you know, you're the light of the world. Go into it. It means that I bear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That I am not Vincent Samuel alone, but I bear the name of Jesus on my life. That is the meaning of this text, my friend. That I bear wherever I go, I'm not going as a person, but at the same time, I bear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. His name is inscribed in me. That's why the Bible says that we are sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in us, living in us. And so each and every one of you might say, yes, this is my name. But your name is not just your name alone. You have the name of Jesus in you. That's the meaning of this particular text. And so when Jesus wants us to be a light to the community, he's saying, always remember this, that you are not just going to this community with your name, but you have my name in you. I've sealed you with the Holy Spirit, which is who's living in me. And so in other words, you know, when I go to the community, when I speak to someone about Christ, when I'm involved in some kind of good deeds, you know, I'm not doing because of me. I'm doing because the name of the Lord. I bear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why when Christians do something bad, right, it appears in the newspapers, headline. A Christian man have done this. Why? The emphasis is not about the man or the woman. It's about Christ. And so here, according to the Greek text, it means, you know, we bear the name of Jesus. At the same time, it also means our identity in Christ. Not only I bear the name of Christ, but I have his presence in my life. That's the next meaning of this particular word. Not only I have the name, but I have Jesus in me. For example, my name is Samuel. I don't have Samuel in me because Samuel is in the Old Testament. But when I say I'm a Christian, I don't simply have the name of Jesus in me, but I have the presence of the Lord Jesus in me. It is like you and right, we resemble our parents. Right? Many a times we do things the way our parents do because we resemble them. Their presence is in you. Whether you like it or not, my friend, they are in you. Not only you bear their name, but you bear their presence. And that's what, you know, Mark is telling the people in that particular region, and also Jesus is telling the people that you bear my presence. My presence is in you. You know, every time I read verses like this, I'm always shaken because, you know, I can imagine the Lord is in me. The God of this universe is dwelling in my life. You know, sometimes I can't imagine that, but that is the statement of fact. Not only I bear the name of Jesus, but the Lord is living in me. His presence is in me. Right? He's in me. I do not know how to say this, right, with these words, but he is living in me. And these verses will tell you, right, that you are the light of this world. Dear friends, when you go into this community, always remember, and that's why Jesus sent his disciple by saying, you know, you are the light of the world. In other words, you bear my name. And my presence, my power is on you, is in you. My grace is in you. My love is in you. My mercy is in you. My strength is in you. And so And that's why when the early church people went out, you know, people were afraid of them. Because they said, these people who will change the world upside down. They're coming. They're simple, ordinary people. But because of the presence of God in their life. And dear friends, you know, when you share the gospel, always remember this. The presence of God is in you. Remember, you know, it's not you. It's the Spirit of God that is working in you. The Spirit is much more greater than us. Secondly, when I look at this word, it says, you are the light of the world. And when I look at the word light, I think you might have heard sermons of this nature, right? It has a diagnostic metaphor. There are images that have been used, and these two images, salt and light. The light metaphor is much more of a diagnostic metaphor, right? In other words, when I'm the light of the world, it is not that, you know, I just go because, you know, God has actually called me to do. The light is able to discern. The light is able to see. The light knows what's happening around. The light is sensitive to the things that is happening around. It exposes. It helps you to see through. And so when Jesus is saying, you know, you are the light of the world, he's not saying, you know, you just share light. Yes, we are called to share the light. At the same time, the light is able to see what's happening in the lives of the society today. And that's why when you read the word, when Jesus saw the crowd, have you realized? He was filled with compassion. He saw the crowd. And that is a very diagnostic word, because when Jesus saw the crowd, he's not just looking at the people. He's not seeing the 5,000 or the 10,000 people gathered around him. When the word saw means he's able to see through, and he's able to see they have a spiritual hunger. At the same time, there is a physical hunger in them. He knew what was happening in their lives, their struggles in their life, and that's how it is seen. And so, you know, when Jesus said, you are the light of the world, he's saying that we need to be people who are there to discern what's the problem of this world. You know, sometimes we say, you know, we blame the culture, right? We blame modernization. You know, we blame, you know, people are changing, lives are changing, technology have changed the entire world. You know, we have something to blame or something to say, you know, it's all because of this, right? But I think when we look at why a lot of things are happening in this world, you know, sometimes I realize, you know, it's a problem of sin. Why are people suffering? It's a problem because of their sinful life, because of the sin that is in them, right? It's not the culture, it's not the tradition, my friend. It's not society's values, right? It's because the problem of sin. And that's why when you look at the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus could have easily changed the tradition and culture and say, these are the problems that has actually created people. He did not. He was always looking at the heart, right? He wanted a heart transformation, because he knew sin was the one that was actually occupying all this. And if the heart is transformed, you know, everything is transformed. What is occupying? It's not the tradition. It's not the issues of life. It's sin. It's Adam's sin in us. And so when we look at the crowd, I think what Jesus is telling the disciples, you know, we should be able to discern. Why? It's not because people like to do that. It's because of the problem of sin, my friend. Right? It's the problem of sin. We see a lot of issues today, right? Gay, lesbian issues and all that. It has become an acceptable kind of a thing. It can become a very political kind of a thing, right? Very soon, churches will be challenged. It has become a norm. No more, right? No more in the past where, you know, it was considered a sin. It was considered an unacceptable lifestyle. It has become a part and parcel, an acceptable thing. Can we blame it to the tradition? Can we blame it to the culture? Can we blame it to the politicians? It's no.
It's the problem of sin. And Jesus was able to see the needs of people, and he realizes, you know, and that's why Jesus said, I give you a new heart, right? A new heart. I think it's important for us to be light of the world. You know, when you look at a person, when we try to deal with or help the person, try to look at him and see what is the thing that's happening in the person's life that is stopping the person from living a life, or living a life that is pleasing to God. What are the sins that has actually the person have been trapped into, or they have been caught, they have been bondage? What is holding them back? They need to be delivered from that, and it's only done by Jesus Christ. And so when you are engaging in the society, when you're engaging with your friends, you know, yes, we want to share the gospel, and then we say, Lord, I've shared the gospel, I've done my part. No, you look at what is happening. What are their struggles in terms of their sinful nature? And when you are able to help, when then you realize there is a real heart change that's happening to them. Lastly, you know, how do I love my community? I think, very interestingly, Jesus says this last word in the same way. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Right? Jesus is talking about, when I was looking at this word, you know, the more I see this particular verse, the more I see it is not just Christian living, it's gospel living. Living out the gospel, right? Living out the good news of the gospel. And Jesus could have easily come into this world. Jesus came into this world. He could have just gave a 20-minute sermon or a half an hour sermon and say, you know, this is the way to go. If you want to go to heaven, this is the way. You want to have a good Christian life, this is the way. Another 20 minutes. You know, he could have just given a message and just left. But if you realize, you know, Jesus is talking about deeds here, right? It is not just message. It's easy for us to share the message of the gospel. It's easy for us to give us a tract. It's easy for us to say, Jesus loves you. He cares for you. You know, I think people know that. The society is fully aware of that. But here in this particular verse, Jesus is saying that you need to do good deeds. Right? That they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, sometimes, as you know, I know sometimes many Christians do this, right? We share the gospel, and you know, that's the end of the story, right? And I'm not to be involved in the person's life anymore because I've shared the gospel, period. It's now the person's responsibility to take control of his life. No. I think we need to be not only sharing the message, but people who are involved doing good deeds. And that's why Jesus, if you look at the verse that we read earlier, right? What did he say? Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Right? He came to serve. He came to give. He preached. He healed. Right? He helped. And he was a servant even to his disciples. And so good deeds are important. I think as a church, I think we need to ask ourselves. We might be proclaiming God's words, that's wonderful, but are we doing deeds which are good, which is helpful, which will bring them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? And very interestingly, when you look at the Greek word very carefully, you know, good deeds, you know, Mark writes it very carefully. He says, you do good deeds because it's lit by your good God, right? Because Jesus is the light of the world. So what happens, right? You have good deeds. It leads you to good deeds and bear fruits. And that brings glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. I like the second song that we sung today. We are a voice in the desert, my friend. Right? We need to be shouting about God's love. And so this week, when you meet your friends, you might have said, you know, I've shared the gospel. I've said Jesus loves you. you know, and all that, but find an opportunity to show that love, to show that you're a person who wants to do what Jesus would have done, you know, if they are going through such a difficult time in their life. That he was always a servant. Find something that you can do that will help them, not only to be blessed, but at the same time get to know that, you know, that you're a person not just with words. You're not a person just sharing the gospel, but you're living out the gospel. You have a gospel life in you. And that's what Jesus wants us to be, my friend. So this week and throughout these years to come, always remember that you are the light of the world. You bear his name, the name of Jesus. And not only his name, his presence is in you. This great God dwells in my life. His presence is in me. Right? And that's why Jesus said in John 17, Lord, I gave them the glory. His presence is in me. I'm not an ordinary person, my friend, because I have the presence of God in my life. You're not ordinary because not only you bear the name of Jesus, but this great God is in you. And so when you go into the community, when you share with people of your life, love, always remember that you represent this God, and this God's presence is in you. Not only his blessing, but he is in you and he's coming along with you. Right? At the same time, when you see, help, pray, Lord, I want to see the way you saw the crowd. I want to know. I want to see the crowd the way you saw their needs, their struggle, their situation, their sin problem. What's holding them back? At the same time, oh God, I want to be doing what you do. Good deeds. Not just words, but deeds. That's why James is very clear about it, right? When you read James, he says, if you have faith, show me your faith. Show me your deeds. And so if I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I shall show my deeds. And so bring the gospel. Bring yourself, because Jesus is in you. Show God's love to people around you, around your community. And let's pray. I just want you to take a moment to think the words that Jesus has said to the disciples. He said, you, Peter, you, John, you are the light of the world. Andrew, you are the light of the world. You. There was an emphasis, not the world. The emphasis is you. I believe the disciples would have wondered, Lord, you are the light of the world. What's happening? But Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Because you bear my name. Because my presence is in you. And so my friends, when you go into this community or wherever your community is, in your workplace or your career, always remember this, that you are the light of this world. That you bear the name of Jesus in you. This holy God, this powerful God, this almighty God is in you. Always pray, Lord, I want to have your eyes, oh God. I want to see the needs. I want to see the way you saw people, oh God. Let me not just share the gospel and just leave that place, but let me see the way you saw the people. You knew they were hungry. you knew, oh God, they were just wanting your word. You knew the hearts of the Pharisees, that they wanted to test you. You knew the desires of Satan, oh God, trying to overthrow you. And so, Lord, we pray, Lord, as we go into this community, Lord, we want to have your eyes. We want to know the forces of the evil one, the temptation of the evil one. At the same time, oh God, we want to know the problems, the struggles of the people. Help us not, Lord, not just blame the society or their tradition or their lifestyle, because there is a greater and a deeper problem. It's all because of sin. It's only you, O God, who's able to help them. And we thank you, Lord, that you have sent your Son into this world. Lord, help us, O Lord, to find an opportunity to do good deeds this week. Not good words alone, but good deeds. Not just deeds, but deeds that glorify you, that is important, that is essential, O God. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.